WTV60 viewers, I am so happy you're with me here this month of September. I've been warning you about this topic since April, and the month is finally here. I hope you are ready. This is about taking action for yourself and for your heirs. Now, just using the word heirs, do you get what we're talking about here? The conversation is about estate planning. And estate planning does not only have to do with what happens after you pass away, but there are circumstances that can be coming up while we're still alive where somebody else is going to have to take responsibility for our health and our financial situation. This is a big topic, and in a moment, I'm going to get to those 8 or 10 reasons why you, like so many others, me in some regard, are avoiding estate planning. But before I start that, I want to talk about me for a moment. Yes, me. You know me, Dorothy Kelly. I've been bringing you content for a year and a couple of months now. And I am not an attorney, so I am not giving you legal advice. My purpose in standing here is to guide you to really think through what it is you have, your assets, and how you want to use them both during your lifetime and after. You know, I have almost 40 years in bookkeeping and tax preparation business. So trust me when I say to you, I have seen a lot. So many clients that come into the office and say, oh, mom died and I'm in a huge battle with my brother right now. He's trying to take over. I'm sure he's been taking things out of the house and dipping into the bank account. If you're like me, even without being a tax preparer, we've heard this story so many times. What is it when somebody passes away, how everybody comes out of the woodwork demanding their fair share or wanting possessions? Oh, mom told me I could have that. We've heard all the stories because you know what I'm talking about. And this part of estate planning is really to protect the people that are left behind, so you give them good clarity on what it is that you want. Why is it important? These are your items. This is your money, your property, your real estate, your possessions, and it really can be your decision to what is going to happen to them, and it should be your decision. So by having clear documents prepared, you can take away a lot of that squabbling that might happen after you die when you're not there to be the referee parent, if that's been your role for 20, 30, 40 years with your children so far. The five parts are today's introduction. We're going to jump right into next week and start making the list of what it is we own, typically called our assets. Next, we will jump right into another document, five wishes. This is a simple form of the health directive, followed up with probate in general, just topics, different rules, costs, taxes, what about your state? And finally, we'll get into what about the will, the living trust, what's the difference in various states? Do you need a financial power of attorney and more? So I'm not kidding you. This is all about putting together documentation. Think of September going back to school and having homework, because this month is all about homework. And by the end of today's presentation, I'm going to give you your first assignment. So I want to think about what are the reasons people avoid preparing a will, even if they think they don't need one. Because let's remember, if you pass away without a will, the courts decide how your belongings will be distributed. And for you, those of you, now this is not my demographic, us, women in our 60s and older. These are for our children and our grandchildren. If they do not have a will, the court might step in to decide who's going to raise the children. Who the heck wants that? Anyway, here are reasons we avoid taking care of our estate. I don't have the time. That one, you know, may not be as appropriate right now since many of us are still out of work because of the virus, that we do have time and we could easily schedule this into our day. And listen, even if you don't have time, we, believe it or not, choose how we're spending our time. And we can set the priority that this is something that I want to get taken care of this month. So you set the priority, you set the time, you get it in your schedule, and you do the work. Big one, I don't want to think about dying. Who wants to? But it's inevitable, as we know, death and taxes. Might as well get prepared. Maybe you don't understand the process, or you don't think you have a need to plan. Anybody, everybody needs a plan, some kind of plan. You don't think you have an estate to worry about. Okay, if you have possessions and you have a bank account, guess what? You have an estate. It's not about how big it is or how small. It's about the fact that you might own something that is in your name. Your children, I already said this, may end up in the care of somebody you didn't like. Huh, add that caveat now, right? Somebody you don't like. Your stuff could end up with somebody you don't like or you don't know. This happens. People coming in out of the woodwork and doing the big grab. You could pay more tax than necessary. This will come up more when we get into the probate section. You might miss making contributions to your favorite charities. It's called a bequest. Many people, as they're distributing the cash at the end, might want to make an extra donation somewhere. There are so many needy people. I don't mean people, causes. So many causes out there that always could use our help. I already spoke about this a little bit, the family fights over stuff, money, property. And I hand-penciled this in because I got thinking about, what about those collections? Many of us were collectors, weren't we? So think about, I'm going to use the traditional roles. Mom had the Hummels and Dad had the baseball cards. Well, what does that really mean now? Who wants the Hummel collection? This is a sad thing about our stuff. Even if you start talking with your children and grandchildren, they go, well, I don't really want it. Young people today don't see the same value in heirlooms, family heirlooms, and they might not want this stuff, but it does have to go somewhere. So the Hummels, no, but what about the baseball collection? Dad has an original Mickey Mantle signed in the plastic. There's a very big discrepancy there can be in the value of some of these collections and who would really want them. So it's another reason to make the decisions. You make the decisions in advance of who you want to have your things. And lastly, this isn't exactly in with the will, but you know, as we age, if we are able to stay in home and we have a caretaker, we have to be very careful about caretakers. Everybody is not honest. This is a whole different topic of planning, of how you want to know what it is you have and how you can protect those things from theft. So, you know, and this is even more important with people that common law marriages or domestic partners, where perhaps your name is not on everything, or second marriages, or third or fourth. You really need that clarity to say who will inherit and what they will inherit. An aside also, I see this time and time again. In fact, I just had a friend explain this scenario to me with a sudden death of her partner. We could have our utilities, let's use as an example, that are not in both names. Maybe I'm on the PG&E, my husband is on the water bill. When you pass away, it's not always that easy just to say, oh, by the way, I take over. So by looking at all of these things in advance this month, and by the way, we're giving you a second month in October because this can be overwhelming, to really look at every single piece of paper you have and look who's on title. There's so many things to look over, isn't there? And we don't even know what I would call hidden assets. Here's an example. One of you worked for 30 years in a corporation, forgetting that you had a life insurance policy with them. The value of it doesn't even matter. But you forgot, let's say it that way, you forgot to tell the spouse, oh, by the way, blank blank corporation set me up with that $10,000 policy. We forget. We think, oh, I'm not going to need it, or it'll come up later, what have you. I don't want to talk about it. All the reasons we don't face our money and our planning. So I would call these hidden assets. And it's not that they're intentional. It's just stuff that's out there in the stratosphere that could have value. And believe me, if it involves giving you money as an heir or a surviving spouse, when you lose somebody, it is more important than ever to rearrange your finances, especially for our generation. Maybe we have two Social Security checks and two pensions, and all of a sudden it's down to one. It's a big change in the financial picture, isn't it? So lastly on this page, and then we'll do the action step, dying intestate. You probably have heard that. It means no will. The state takes over. What's going on now? So many courts are not even in session. This is a probate situation, probate court then. If they're not meeting, we have no idea how long it might take to get on the docket to have even any size estate probated if you're dying without a will. But there are some rules. Each state is different. It's essentially, there's the chain of distribution, whether you're married, single, have children, your parents are alive, you have siblings. And another thing I didn't even touch on, if you own property, real estate in more than one state, a whole nother level of complexity to your planning. Here's your action step. Now, this document is not a technical part of your estate plan, but it's very helpful for somebody that has to take over for you, whether you're alive or you've passed on. And this is called the letter of intent. A letter of intent is a blueprint for your other estate planning documents. Once your letter of intent is written with specific preferences regarding your estate, your other estate documents should reflect these same intentions so that your wishes are carried out by the people that you name, and they're carried out properly and consistently. This word's important, consistently. If your letter of intent says one thing, and then you've made an adjustment in your will or your trust, and they're conflicting, frankly, the will and trust or the legal documents, I believe they would take precedent, but they might not be what you wanted because you had a change of heart, but you didn't get to your official documents. This is all very tricky, isn't it? So the letter of intent is an informal document that will give your loved ones important information about personal and financial matters after your death, but also it could happen while you're still alive if you're not able to take care of yourself for health-wise or financial reasons. They're not legally binding and they do not replace the need for a will or a trust, but it's a nice complement to those documents. The informal nature allows you to create the letter on your own and you can change it when necessary. I already said the caveat. If you're making these changes, you have to, in some instances, look back at your legal documents, will and or trust, to see if they need to be changed as well. And it's important to keep the letter up to date. Life circumstances change over time. Here's just a sample of four things that could go in your letter of intent. Don't freak out. We're going to get into the meat of estate planning now. One, your funeral or cremation arrangements. Yeah, you have to decide. Wait to hear this part. Which one you want? What is the plan? What type of service? Who are you going to invite? Who should be contacted? Are you going to write your own obituary? Do you want certain songs played? Do you want to go to a venue? Do you already own your funeral plot? Have you prepaid your cremation ceremony? Honestly, for a lot of people, if they start with this one, it becomes an immediate blank because this is so real now. So real. Two, financial information, list of assets, location of documents, safe deposit box, and the location of documents. This is next week's topic. I'm going to get into this in detail. On the letter of intent, it may not be as detailed. We'll talk about that next week. Wait to hear this one. Digital info. You know what I mean. How many sites are you signed up for that have very different login names and passwords? I have dozens, at least three dozen. Mine are pretty organized, but because I know where they are, I know how to find the information. I not only have it all written on a yellow sheet, but I also have little cards. So I'm my little cheat sheet. But even your computer, we have passwords on our computer. If somebody in your circle does not know how to log on to your computer, what a mess that can be, especially now that we don't even print out statements so much anymore in documents. Everything is stored in the cloud or on our hard drive. So this is going to be big. I don't want to freak you out on this, how big it's going to be. Depends on how many companies, etc., you log on to. Here's a good example. You've always taken care of the phone bill. You know the login. It's all online. You know the login and the password. It's in your name. How does your partner or your heirs access that? And last, this will happen over time, your personal items. If you have specific bequests where Cousin Jenny always wanted great-great-grandmother's china, then these are things that will be noted in the letter of intent, but also it can be included in an appendix on your will and or living trust. You can specify charitable gifts. And finally, a lot of ends. Finally, you can give the reasons in the letter of intent why you made specific choices in your will. Especially if you're going to not include somebody in the will. Yes, you're excluding somebody. That doesn't really have the exact spot in the will to say why, but in the letter of intent, you can spell out if you are giving gifts to four siblings, but not one, or a child that, oh, I don't want to get into that too much. You will think about who you might want to exclude. This is so important because once the squabbling starts, if you have not given the remaining heirs information or proof, knowing that you intentionally made a decision about how your assets are going to be distributed, the fighting can become ridiculous. That's it. It's a lot, I know. 2 months, get started, get your letter of intent going, go online, find an example. And step one, at the very least, is think about what are you going to do for your burial or cremation. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.